If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, Jaya.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. My voice is not yet fully recovered, so I'll do what I can tonight. And look what I found yesterday. The maple cola. Zero sugar. Oops. I'm putting the wrong screen. Let me check this. Okay, I need to set it. Okay, because I'm still on the stream I've made. Let's see this. All right. So I have this maple cola, zero sugar, but it's a full flavor of maple, genuine. I don't know how they did this. They probably separated the sugar from the maple. It is absolutely delicious. It's as strong as if you were gulping maple syrup. And I know that because in sugar shacks in Quebec, you have pure maple syrup that is being boiled and being put on the ice, on the snow. You roll it, and it rolls into pure solid maple sugar, and it is absolutely delicious. This is as good. This is as good. So there's nothing in the sugar that's important in maple syrup. Maple syrup is all about the flavor provided by the wood, the flavor provided by whatever it is, those leftover molecules that come from the sap, that is what the maple flavor is about. The sugar, you can all remove it, replace it with aspartame, and you're good. A strong, smoky, woody taste. This mixes so many of my passions. Maple syrup, Pepsi Zero, you know, low calorie drinks. This is what I live for. End of the line. Joel says, curious to consider that the same LLM vibe coding tech for a video game is the same tech that vibe codes the Iron Wire. Oh yeah, absolutely. Very well seen. I do have the impression that a lot of the scenario that we're being presented with right now is propaganda, and it is AI designed propaganda. I believe that we have marketers. We are marketing the conflict right now. And one of the best emotional ways to market war to the American people is to get them involved in a sense of, oh, we're rooting for our team. And this is what they've done today with the story of a pilot who fell in Iran and survived in the mountain, hidden for a day or two, and was the subject of a rescue mission involving maybe 100 different aircrafts. So it's like, once you are put in front of this, and once the rest is hidden, you can turn the American people into supporting the war simply out of an emotional reaction. Now, is this a lie? I don't think it's a lie. Maybe there was an actual pilot who actually fell into Iran and they went to rescue him. But the whole construct of the press conference that we've seen today with Trump is a marketing strategy, because they won't make a press conference of that sort when the soldier dies, when he gets captured. how many dozens, hundreds of soldiers have been dying for the Iran war? We don't know, because they keep this information hidden. But when they have a marketable story, they go all out with it. And all you're left with seeing this detailed narrative of, oh, we sent those aircraft to fool the Iranians, and we sent diversion and deception, and then our guy was with his beacon of survival in the mountains sending us signals. You're left with the emotional knee-jerk reaction. Even I could feel it, like, oh, I want him to be saved. I want him to be saved. But now you've totally reverted the moral burden once you do this. Because let's not forget, this guy was as much an aggressor as Benjamin Netanyahu and Trump. The pilot who fell in Iran was there to bomb people for no reason at all. But the fact that this people's sovereignty is annoying to Bibi, is annoying to Trump. And now you start to root for you start to root for violence. You start to root for your side, but your side happens to be the one who wants to deny the sovereignty of another nation. But you root simply emotionally because you don't want the human being to die. So these narratives that they're telling is deceptive by partial truth. Because what they're not telling you first is this pilot was there to bomb illegitimately, illegally, another nation. And that other nation defended itself against this pilot. And that other nation is being attacked for no reason at all, but the fact that they don't want to give away whatever it is that Israel and the US want them to give away. You don't have the moral high ground. And so when you don't have the moral high ground, all that Trump was left to do, because for the last 3 weeks, he's been faced with the problem that the Iran war is really not popular and it's really dividing his base. So what did he have to do? He had to do one of these spectacular press conference telling a whole emotional narrative. And the whole attempt at reversal of the public perception by Trump has started yesterday with him coming out and saying, you know, I would want to take the oil. So the oil thing, we need to talk about this. The oil thing needs to be resolved. Because it's becoming, and it has been for 30 years, a false narrative to misdirect the attention of people. We are not at war with the Middle East to take the oil. I mean, think about the contradictions of Trump. Trump is telling us, oh, we don't need the Strait of Hormuz. Europe is taking the oil there. We're not taking the oil there. Well, wait a minute. So we're into all these Middle Eastern war and we're bombarding Iran. And you're telling us we would want to take the oil, but we're not taking the oil. So Middle Eastern oil is not as tied to American supply as the war mentality would have you believe. So why have they been pushing this narrative for 30 years? The leftist, for example, they will tell you, oh, it's the big oil corporation. Or they will tell you it's the big military industrial complex. All of this are red herrings. We are at war with the Middle East because of Israel. That is the only reason. We don't attack other oil-having nations. Well, we just did Venezuela, but we did Venezuela, you will notice. Also in the context of the South American support for Israel, for the Israeli axis. We also attacked Venezuela in the context where a bunch of countries in South America are not properly aligned with the Israeli empire. And they were struck by an Israeli-supported president. So the real reason is not the oil. The oil might be a pretext, and Trump is an expert at using pretext to misdirect people. Here, he's repeating a sentence that he's been saying for 30 years. But the sentence doesn't make sense anymore now that you're a president, Trump. The sentence doesn't make sense. He's been saying for 30 years, they should have taken the oil. If it was me, I would have taken the oil. Well, now it's you, Trump. So what will he say? Look at him recovering that sentence and then realizing it doesn't make sense.
I had my choice. What would I like to do? Take the oil. Because it's there for the taking. There's not a thing they can do about it. Unfortunately, the American people would like to see us come home.
They should have so Trump, for the last 30 years, literally, publicly, has been saying they should have taken the oil. Oh, the error is they haven't taken the oil. We should go take the oil. Oh, you know, the Iraq war was bad, but it wasn't bad because it was a war. It was bad because they didn't take the oil. And now you're president, and now you are attacking a oil-producing nation, and you're not taking the oil either. And the excuse that he has is, well, it's because of the American people. I would take the oil, but the American people doesn't want me to do it. So now that's the new excuse. Well, when is it that we acknowledge that these wars have nothing to do with oil or very little? They have to do with oil to the extent that oil-producing nations are more important, more developed, and they have more resources. So they are stronger enemies. They are not easy to regime replace the way Libya could be, Syria could be, Iraq could be. So we're really dealing with oil-having nations because they're just harder. They're harder for Israel to bend their knee. They will not bend their knee because they have options. That's why we're after oil-having nations.
If it were up to me, I'd take the oil, I'd keep the oil, I would make plenty of money. And I'd also take care of the people of Iran much better than they've been taken care of. It's been a horrible... They've killed 45,000 people as of a month and a half ago. 45,000 protesters. We don't do that. So if I had my choice, I'd keep the oil. But I...
All right. He would keep the oil, but he can't. The American people is too opposed to it. Stephen Robinson says, but he said MAGA support is 100%. Oh yeah, they've redefined MAGA, by the way. Now, MAGA means being supportive of President Trump in his Iran war. So when you have that definition, you get 100% support within MAGA for the Iran war. Now, expert marketer Trump, you have to grant it to him. This guy knows how to rebound on anything, including the conception that he presented today, that the Iranian people actually wants to be bombed.
Iranians would be mad if you stopped these attacks. But why would they want you to blow up their infrastructure, to cut off their power? Wouldn't that be punishing Iranians for the actions of the regime?
They would be willing to suffer that in order to have freedom. The Iranians have, and we've had numerous intercepts. Please keep bombing. Bombs that are dropping near their homes. Please keep bombing.
So, the Iranian, I'm sorry because I have zero voice. I'm not able to express what I would want to express simply because my voice is rushing so much. But the Iranian people is demanding the bombs. They're typing on their Discord and they're getting intercepted. And Israel Mossad is recording their conversation, and the popularity of bombs is extremely high in Iran. They love our bombs. They just demand more. I know. I just received these intercepted message from our Mossad agents. They love it. They want more. They're saying, bomb us more, Trump. Terra Firma says the fate model, focus, authority, tribe, emotion. Yes. Yes, this is what has been recruited in today's press conference. Here he talks about the behavior of the Iranians.
I'm not even sure they have any minds there, by the way. I'm not sure. I'm personally, they say there might be eight. I don't know. I think there might be none because they're very good bullshit artists. That's why for 47 years they've been bullshitting other presidents and they haven't done the job. And people are living in hell. You live in that country, they're living in hell. No, I think that 47 years of this stuff is long enough. They're at the weakest point they've ever been. They have no Navy, they have no Air Force, they have no anti-aircraft weaponry, they have no radar, they have no communication. In fact, the biggest problem we have in our negotiation is that they can't communicate. I said to Steve, what are they saying? Sir, they can't communicate. They have no method of communication. So we're communicating like they used to communicate 2,000 years ago with children, bringing a note back and forth. They have no communication.
The Iranians have stated, by the way, the Iranians have Telegram channels. They have communications going, but they have stated publicly that they were not interested in further negotiation. Now, not particularly surprising, given that Israel and the U.S. have been bombing, assassinating each of the negotiators for the last 5 weeks. Any of the negotiators coming was eventually killed in their apartment, killed in their house with their family. And it's been at least three layers of it. So what do you expect will happen then? Well, no one will want to be the negotiator. You're killing the negotiators. This, by the way, is a moving moment in Braveheart. You know, when Shawshanks calls the Scots to a negotiation, and that's where I believe Braveheart loses his father. It is absolutely ridiculous to be killing the negotiators. It means that you are trying to not negotiate, you're trying to impose something onto an independent nation. Now, Iran, I don't know what they will do, but what Trump has been trying to do this week, he's promising that tomorrow or Thursday, so within the next 24 to 36 hours, he is saying that it will be bridge day and power plant day. He's saying that he wants to raise Iran to the ground in terms of infrastructure, bridge, including civilian bridges, and power plants. All of this for what? Because Trump didn't get what he wanted from Iran. But that is precisely the strength of the Iranian people. They are positioned and capable of just staying there and taking the hits. So this campaign of strikes that Trump is promising for very soon, I don't know, will it happen? I think there are three possibilities. One, the bluff of Trump will work. So the Iranians will accept some concession, whatever it is that Trump wants of them. Two, it's possible that the Iranians will just ignore this bluff and they will say, go ahead, hit us. And then Trump will be faced with a big decision. Do I do this petty set of strikes just for saying I did them? Because it would have no function but to just make life harder on the Iranian people. It would be seen as a very illegal, petty, and useless attack. Wouldn't be seen as militarily legitimate in any way. It would just be a petty, I hit you before I leave the Middle East. It would probably be the most petty thing we've seen in military strategy in the last 30 years. I've never seen something like this. So that will be the second option of Trump. Just cause damage that will hurt civilians for no reason at all, that is completely illegal, not militarily justified. Or the third option will be that Trump is truly bluffing and he's going to fold on his bluff. So it's possible that tomorrow Trump will say, you know what, I tried putting pressure on them, couldn't get them to unlock the Strait of Hormuz, but it's not our job anymore, it's Europe's job. Go ahead and do it, it should be easy, we did most of the job. We did 99% of it. Now go ahead and free your boats. It's possible that Trump will take this angle, and he's capable of doing this. Trump is capable of contradicting himself within a single sentence. Taco Tuesday, says Tyra Gerson. Yeah, so we'll see what we get tomorrow. Trump is capable of saying, you know what, I changed my mind for the Iranian people. I don't want them to suffer. I think they're under a terrible regime, but it's for them to resolve. It's possible this is what we're going to get. Who knows, with Trump constantly rotating on his ideas and playing like he's 6D chessing the whole world, but doesn't seem to be knowing exactly where to go. But you're faced with the problem that the Iranian people is capable of enduring bombardments of all kind. They are a very populated nation capable of taking hits. You can destroy all of their bridges, their universities. You're going to have to set them back. You're going to have taken energy from their society. But they will survive. And as long as you don't put boots on the ground, and it would require so many boots that it's close to unfeasible, you're not going to get anything from Iran. You have to gain some degree of respect for the Iranian people through this, because they've been just taking the hits and they seem to have a clear plan of what they're doing. They're just going to take the hits, and whatever is left after this will be better than a submitted, kneeled nation. So we are at the ultimatum right now. Matrix Invader says, you sound sick, Jeff. Of course, I'm sick. My voice is completely wrecked. I might take a break tomorrow to recover, but I thought I would come on to just discuss this because it's going to be a big moment tomorrow, and I wanted to share my views on it. You know, my voice wreckage has been worse and worse throughout my life. And at this point, it sometimes takes a week to 2 weeks when I have a cough to recover my full voice. But so be it. It doesn't matter. Even if I sound sick, I'm actually in good health right now. It's really just my voice. Yam Jacobs says, Iran may control the Hormuz Strait, but we control Reddit, Wikipedia, Facebook, and Z. And X. Done too. Yes, we've seen this symptom for a long time. It showed a lot in the Ukraine war. This delusion that because you control the propaganda, that you win some kind of social war. And it's like on the ground, you lose the actual war. That we've seen that for Ukraine. You remember the Ukraine flags in the bios? Holy shit, was that a cringe moment. Where everyone was rooting for Ukraine and say, oh, we got these victories, and oh, there's a big meat grinder happening here. Yay! And it's like the front line was staying stable. Russia was keeping its advances. The demands of Zelensky were getting more and more delusional. It's like we've propagandized ourselves into social media thinking. And we think that war matters. And it's like these kind of backward societies like Russia and Iran, it's like they stayed grounded to the truth. It's like they haven't had their brain polluted by the social media virus. So we had the whole narrative of the escape of this, the rescue of this pilot. So it seems like we've invested maybe $100 or $500 million to save this single pilot. Now, I'm not saying that the life of a pilot isn't worth $500 million. It's really, we're entering the point at which the idea of worth doesn't quite matter. But it's fascinating to me that this is the ultimate handicap of developed civilizations. Because a non-developed civilization can see their pilot die and it's not even news. Doesn't matter. They won't deploy so much resource as we've deployed to save one pilot. But as John Drake says, it's unsustainable. It's unsustainable. We are basically, the army is this giant social welfare system where people get paid a social welfare share that is higher than the regular social welfare, but they get paid in exchange of some battling that they do for the nation. Now, the nation is Israel, as it turns out. This system is unsustainable for real, because can you imagine when Iran shoots a $10,000 missile, cheap or cheap drone, whatever, and it gets intercepted by a $1 million interceptor? Now, that's a win for Iran, you could say. That's a way in which Iran can make the war costly for the adversary. But imagine, imagine for a pilot that is downed, how much resource we have developed, we have deployed. That's much more than the asymmetry between a missile interceptor and a drone. That's a much bigger asymmetric cost imposed onto the U.S. Need Staff says, JF, what are your thoughts on using mesenchymal stem cells for cartilage regeneration / restoration? I think those things can develop. They can be researched. Ultimately, I'm not a big fan of life extension. I think in certain specialized medical situations, it might help. But we're not, I don't think we're very far there. I think we're more in the development of these things. At least I haven't followed very closely the recent developments of stem cell research. But when I last checked, this domain was promising for specialized applications. Maybe. But I haven't seen that we were there yet. Plapidas says the pilot thing was probably a ruse to put boots on the ground to extract Iran's uranium. It could be that this is kind of a psychological preparation step.
To try means so much to so many. Meanwhile, the backseater, as the president and the secretary have said, had continued to work and survive. Through the hours of daylight, Dude 44 Bravo, the backseater, evaded. Using every means available, the efforts of the United States military, the Central Intelligence Agency, and others were attempting to find and locate with precision Dude 44 Bravo, the backseater. A note on the backseater and the frontseater. The single most important contributor to a successful rescue operation is the spirit of attack inside the heart of that downed aviator. Their will to survive, their will to evade, their will to recover is everything. In this case, the backseater's absolute commitment to surviving made much of our efforts possible. On Saturday...
And just like this, and yes, Stephen, I agree with the earlier comment. It's very possible that we're in front of a psychological preparation operation of, well, now we've had boots on the ground. Well, why are you asking me about boots on the ground? We had boots on the ground yesterday. So we have put literally boots on the ground. And meanwhile, in southern Iran, Israel is destroying the oil industry of Iran. So it seems that the oil fields, so there's this very weird relationship between what Trump says and what Israel does, where Trump is, no, don't eat the oil. And then they spread these false rumors that Trump was pissed that Israel hit the oil fields, and he told Israel not to eat the oil fields. Well, now today Israel is eating the oil fields. And now Trump is saying tomorrow we will also. So what is that? What is that? It's all confusion of the general public. It's all marketing of war to the American people. It's all entertaining confusion in order to achieve these goals without the American people revolting too much. I Am Jacob says we have won the battle on social media, and we have won the most important battle of all, the psychological state of the backseater of the F-15 pilot. All of this narrative is meant to create empathy, by the way. And I'm not saying don't be empathic to pilots or whatever, but I'm saying there is a function to this kind of story where they tell the story of how he was in a mountain crevice and he was hiding there. And there were Iranians walking around, and they were so close to him. But then we sent helicopters to drive them away from him. All of this is meant to recruit your usual brain reaction that you would have in a movie, where you would side with something. You would take a side in the movie. Now you take a side for the pilot because all of the emotional cues are triggering. Yeah, like Rambo. Same thing as Rambo. That's how you get to love Rambo. It's because he's there in the forest and the bad sheriffs are coming after him and there's just nothing to stop him. Stephen Robinson says, North America benefits if the Gulf has to spend a decade rebuilding Alberta. Will go brrr. Yeah, I'm just at the right place in a way. Yes, you could argue that having moved to Alberta was the best strategic move because it will become the powerhouse for North America. The more oil fails elsewhere, the more Alberta will be rich and the more I'll be able to keep living here. Maybe one day Alberta will give me social welfare, maybe a oil dividend. The entire country could be taken out in one night, and that night might be tomorrow night. So that's the threat of Trump.
The entire country could be taken out in one night, and that night might be tomorrow night.
But you never know with Trump. He said these things before, and he can revert at any point. An excellent analysis by Alexander Dugin, looking at what's happening across the world. And the German men, this is scandalous to me. German men have been put on an obligation to report if they leave the country for more than 3 months. And it's like the men between something like 14 to 45 years old. That looks like you're preparing to do to these men exactly what was done to the Ukraine men. So you are preparing a genocide of men by sending them to a front war against Russia. And Alexander Dugin saw through it. They prepare to fight Russia. They will ban fighting age men from leaving the country as they edge toward compulsory military service. Why do we have to destroy our nations and our males to combat a non-enemy? Why does it have to be that all of these countries that were historically, basically the trajectory of Jewish people through history, starting in Eastern Europe, migrating to Western Europe, Germany, the Ashkenazi Jews, eventually leaving Germany, going to the US. Now you have this whole line of countries that's about to be male genocided. Ukraine is already done, or it's close to being finished. Now they're emptying the reserves of Germany. Who do you think is the next? Who do you think is the next in that line? Just follow the historical trajectory of the Jewish people. Eastern Europe, Western Europe, US. Who's going to send their men to some war against either Russia or Iran or China? Ukraine, Germany, and then the US. I'm telling you right now, this is one of the predictions I'm the most certain of. There will be compulsory male service in the army in the US within the next 60 years, to a point that will significantly empty the male population of the US. Not just a male service like you go clean some planes or whatever. Ground boots, sending of men to be killed at front lines against countries that are not our enemies. Mark my words, it's going to happen. What else do we have? That's pretty much what I had to say tonight. Since my voice is so weak, I will not entertain a longer show, but I have said what I had to say. We are in times of war, times of public manipulation. The elite class is lying the same way they've been lying, but you could argue with a little more subtlety this time, with a little more emotional manipulation. We don't even know why Trump wants to destroy bridges in Iran. Ask yourself this, as we wait for tomorrow to determine whether he will do it. Why? Why does he want to do it?